This is program C1134. We have 158 days left until we go to Israel, and I really need everyone to make up their mind to come with us and bring your preacher. All the information you need is in the brochure that's on the website, intotheword.net. There's a hot link right there at the front. It's very reasonably priced. We see a lot of very interesting things, and we are an intimate group, a small group. We've actually got about 8 preachers already going, so it should be a very interesting Bible study time as well. So please decide and come and talk to the leadership of your church about making sure your preacher goes with us. We're going to start in Revelation chapter 12 in just a moment, but we are using my notes in the Living in the Last Days Prophecy Seminar notes. And we're right around on page 67 as we begin today. And we're trying to pull together all sorts of information from different parts of the book of Revelation. The book has two, I don't want to say competing, but parallel visions about the final 3.5 years. We've got the vision of the 7-sealed scroll of God's final wrath, and eventually we'll see the trumpets of God's wrath being sounded out of that vision. And then we've got the vision of the long-lasting war between the seed of woman and the seed of the dragon, and we'll be seeing the bowls or the vials or the containers of God's wrath being poured out in that vision. And you'll see the parallels very clearly once we get there. But first we have to build up to where that wrath will be poured out. And this is what we speculate so far. And remember, this is all speculation. Satan is booted out of the heavenly realm, out of the unseen realm, at the beginning of the final 3.5 years. This is happening at the time when the 6th seal is broken. When the sun goes dark, the moon turns to blood, the stars are falling from the sky, and I think a lot of that is related to the event I call angel fall. That is, when the angels are booted out. It's going to cause a lot of chaos. And in the midst of that chaos, on the very first day, I believe that's when the two witnesses pop in to planet Earth as well. I've already shared with you my own belief that they are the two prophets of the ancient time that did not die, whose stories were not yet finished. That would be Enoch from before the flood, who was taken away without dying, and Elijah, who after the flood, during the time of divided Israel, was taken away without dying. I think the reason for that is because their missions were going to be continued here in the last days. Now, other people suggest other names, and that's fine. As I remind you with prophecy, no one knows for sure until it happens. And sometimes, even then, they don't know unless God specifically tells us. And let's be honest, folks, once all this stuff happens, there will be no bragging rights. We'll just all be happy that it's all wrapped up and we are in the presence of Jesus Christ, our everlasting Savior. So anyway, in the book of Revelation chapter 12, when the dragon gets booted out of the heavenly realm, he now has to depend upon earthly mechanisms in order to get his job done. And that's where a lot of the trouble starts for people on planet Earth. So let's go ahead and start reading Revelation chapter 12, starting verse 17, we've talked about some of these things, and I'll just remind you. The dragon was enraged over the woman. This would be faithful Israel, who brought the Messiah into the world. He went out to make war with the rest of her seed, those keeping the commandments of God and having the testimony of Jesus. This is a reference to the fact that he could not get to the woman herself, which I've suggested to you is probably the messianic Jewish community in the Middle East, probably right there close to Jerusalem itself, that she is given the two wings of the eagle, which I believe would be the two witnesses, and those two witnesses escort the Messianic community over to the Temple Mount, and they set up their encampment there, and they are safe and secure in the presence of the two witnesses for the time being. So Satan, when he realizes he can't get at them because the two witnesses have supernatural abilities he can't get past, he decides to go after everybody else that is a supporter of Jesus. And more than likely, this is more of my theory, more of my suggestion, he probably goes straight over into the European area, because there are already mechanisms in place there that he would find useful to his purposes. Verse number 18, he stood on the sand of the sea. This is actually a nod to the book of Daniel, and the sea that was in mind there was the Mediterranean. I've used this before to teach that more than likely all of these events are going to be centered in the old world within the general region of the Mediterranean basin. Verse 1 of chapter 13, I saw a ten-headed, so this would be, ten-horned. These would be the horns representing the kings of the final government, because we've talked about that from the book of Daniel as well as the book of Revelation. Seven-headed beast, that would be the seven heads of historic enemies to the covenant people. So I saw a ten-horned, seven-headed beast rise up out of the sea with ten crowns upon its horns and a blasphemous name upon its heads. So this is an opponent of God throughout history, and now at the tail end of history, it's trying its best to put a stop to the coming of Jesus Christ, and Satan makes use of this beast. Verse 2, the beast which I saw was like a leopard, probably a reference to speed. In the book of Daniel, the leopard represented the rise of the Macedonian Greek Empire of Alexander the Great. Its feet like those of a bear. The bear in the Old Testament book of Daniel was all about the Medo-Persian Empire. I think it refers to steadfastness, perhaps even a strong legal system, because the laws of the Medes and the Persians could not be abrogated. Its mouth, like the mouth of a lion, the winged lion, in the book of Daniel was a reference to the Babylonian Empire. I think in particular Nebuchadnezzar, who was punished for his pride, and then his grandson, his successor, was Belshazzar, who was a very braggadocious person as well. So I think the mouth of the lion here is a reference to the bragging nature of this final world ruler. The dragon gave it its power, its throne, and great authority. So this is a Satan puppet. This beast has been used throughout history by Satan to accomplish his ends, at least in some part. And now he is forced to resort to the final portion of this beast kingdom now that he is stranded on planet Earth. Verse 3, one of the heads looked as if it had been slain to death. Its death wound healed, and the whole earth marveled after the beast. When we decoded the beast, we know that the seventh and the eighth heads are the same head, just resurrected. Seventh head seems to be some sort of government that exists prior to the chaos of the broken sixth seal. I think it's possible that we're looking maybe at something like the European Union or something similar to that. Maybe the United Nations, that's possible. A lot of the member states of the United Nations are European. And since I think this is the center of the power in Europe, that would work as well. A lot of suggestions could be made. But when the chaos of the broken seal, the sixth seal, happens, it will look as if that government, that head, is crushed. But then, once things start in the 3.5 years, you have the rise of 10 kings. Then you have the rise of the 11th king, who makes use of three of those kings, and he comes to power. And so we have a revival of this head that looked like it was dead, but now is back to life again. There is also, I think, a good reason to believe that the beast leader, that is the final world government leader, the one referred to by a lot of people as the Antichrist, meaning the absolute last opponent of Christ, he may come very close to death, might even die, and then end up being miraculously recovering from that wound. And this might even add to his mystique as a leader in the post six seal world during the day of the Lord, that he came back to life again. And I think it's possible, if that's the case, that Satan might have something to do with that. Verse 4, they worship the dragon because he gave authority to the beast, and worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who is able to make war with it? It was given to speak great and blasphemous things. It was given authority to act for 42 months. 42 months, again, is now 3.5 years. We keep seeing that time frame. The final 3.5 years, the day of the Lord, all of that seems to be what we're talking about in the book of Revelation. It opened its mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, those dwelling in heaven. This is basically the government, and the leader of that government is anti-God, anti-Bible God, anti-God of the Jews, God of the Christians, anti-anything relating to scriptural statements that Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, anything like that. The tabernacle that's referenced here is, of course, the heavenly tabernacle. We've seen that before. All of the righteous redeemed from ages past, they're in the presence of Jesus Christ in the heavenly realms. And this guy has nothing but nasty things to say about anyone from the past that has supported the Judeo-Christian belief system. Verse 7, it was permitted to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Authority was given to it over all tribes, peoples, languages, and languages. So we've got this idea that his power, the power of this government, the power of this man is very far-reaching. I've stated that I think it probably is centered in Europe, but it will probably go beyond Europe the farther in time we move forward. Because remember, we're coming out of the chaos of the angel fall period, the start of the 3.5 years, the breaking of the seal, the sixth seal, which brings the sun to darkness, the moon to blood, and the angels falling from the sky, and all of those phenomena. The great earthquake and things being moved like islands and mountains, probably a lot of volcanic events, probably a lot of fighting between different nations. It'll be horrendous. But once this beast leader comes up out of that chaos, he will probably try to spread his control farther and farther, well beyond where he first establishes it. Verse number 8, all who live upon the earth, the name of whom has not been written in the scroll of life of the Lamb, having been slain from the foundation of the cosmos, shall worship it. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So we know that this beast leader, this beast government, is going to want absolute allegiance and insist on it. And the people who believe in Jesus, who believe in Yehoshua as HaMashiach, Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ, they can't go on with that. They will refuse. And that's what will make them enemies of the state. And so we have verse 10. If anyone is to go into captivity he goes. If anyone is to be killed by the sword, he by the sword is to be killed. Here is the patience and the faithfulness of the saints. So my speculation is that, as is the case with many tyrannical governments, once they come to power, they insist on allegiance. People who resist that are sometimes captured and put into what is euphemistically referred to as re-education camps. Those that absolutely refuse to conform after that are often either exiled or executed. So I will expect an awful lot of that as well. And anyone who takes up resistance will die by the hand of the state. That will be their attitude. If you fight us, you will die. So I expect all of that to be going on during this final 3.5 year period. We now add another element, and that is the element of an organized worship of this beast leader. Verse 11 says, I saw another beast rising from the earth. He had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. Lamb imagery throughout the New Testament is a reference to Jesus Christ. Dragon imagery is a reference to Satan. So here we have someone who at least has some sort of representation of connection to Jesus, but is in reality a follower of Satan, a minion of the devil. And so this is a false religious leader, I believe. I've already developed this in a previous session, and so I'll just put forward my belief system on this. I do believe that the final pope of world history, the pope that is going to be part of this time period, will be this false prophet. That is my conviction. I think there are some Roman Catholic groups that suspect the same thing, and they really, really have bad misgivings about the current pope potentially being someone that would betray the truth about Jesus Christ. But we shall see. We shall see how that plays out. But this is what this second beast, this false prophet, does. Verse 12, he acts with all the authority of the first beast in his presence. He made the earth and those living in it to worship the first beast, whose death wound has been healed. He performed great signs. He could even make fire come down from the sky to the earth in the presence of men. That's interesting, because that is something that apparently the two witnesses of God, the two prophets of God, are capable of doing. So this guy has some ability to do that. Now, whether it is supernatural or whether it is some sort of man-made thing like a satellite-based weapon, I can't tell you for sure. I would move toward it being a space-based weapon that the beast government gets working again, because remember, Satan and his demons, who were the source of many false miracles up to this time period, have now been booted out of the supernatural realm and seem to be more limited in their abilities. So I kind of doubt that they could help this guy truly bring fire from heaven supernaturally. So I almost see here that as time passes, the government, the beast government, is able to get some space-based weapons working that this guy could tap into. So verse number 14, he does this so he might deceive those living upon the earth by the signs that were given to him to do before the beast, telling those who live upon the earth to make an image of the beast who has a sword wound and who lives. And this idea here that the beast leader needs to be worshipped, this is often a component of tyranny, to have the leader take the place of the God figure that all these different cultures have had before as the center of their allegiance. So I believe it will play out something like this, that once Satan and his fallen angels figure out that they can't take out the messianic remnant, the messianic community in the Middle East, because they are now bivouacked with the two great prophets at the Temple Mount. I think that Satan will move toward Europe, and he will see the Roman Catholic Church leader, that is the Pope, as a potential agent to help calm some of the populace from resisting his government leader. And so I think that he will speak whatever he has to in order to convince the Pope, who will then convince his people, we need to trust this guy that is being put forward here as the new leader of our world. I've already told you that I think that Satan and his angels will very likely resort to a science fiction-esque explanation for themselves, that they are aliens who were related in some form or fashion to the original creators of mankind, that they have come back here to help mankind move to their next stage of development. But unfortunately, not everyone out in the universe wants that to happen. So they are, these guys, that is Satan and his people, have been stranded on planet Earth in the midst of a war with this other group, which of course we would know would be Jesus. Satan and his angels would say, these guys, these other aliens, want to hold you back. They'll be showing up here within the next few years, and we need to do everything we can to prepare for their attempt to invade planet Earth. Humanity needs to work together. Humanity needs to follow the lead of this man, this brave leader who has come back to life, who has brought back government out of the chaos, and we need to barricade planet Earth against this invading force. And I think that based on an awful lot of recent science fiction writing and media, that is going to be a believable lie for an awful lot of people that don't want to think of Jesus as their King of Kings and their Lord of Lords. And so I think they're going to compromise the Pope into going along with this, because he also is going to believe the lie. And this is going to then lead to an allegiance system. Everybody needs to take a mark to show that they're on board with the new purpose of humanity. And I think that modern technology that we already have would lend itself well to what we've read here. It is possible through computer artificial intelligence and through a huge internet network that we already have, that every person with a handheld device or a computer to monitor or anything like that, a phone, that they could be able to see an image of the beast leader speaking personally to them, that the artificial intelligence would allow this to feel like an interaction between the beast leader and the person who is using the program. We're almost already there now with a lot of gaming technology and stuff like that. And that they will be encouraged to therefore take the mark of allegiance, which would tie them into the economy, the commerce system, where they had to have this mark in order to participate in the economy to buy or to sell. And we're going to see that as being part of this story. And anybody who refuses to take the mark immediately becomes part of the problem, becomes an enemy of the state. And not just simply an enemy of the state, but an enemy of planet Earth. Because remember, the lie that I expect that they will be spouting is, there is somebody coming shortly that is your enemy. They are trying to come and stop you from reaching your full potential. And so if you are a loyal human being, you're going to join in a resistance to that coming tyrant. And of course, they will be thinking about Jesus, the one that we're waiting for. And that's going to result then in a lot of people dying because they refuse to take the mark of the beast. Let me read this as we're kind of wrapping up today. Revelation 13, 15. He was permitted to give breath to the image of the beast that the image of the beast might speak, and that as many as did not worship the image of the beast might be killed. He made everyone, the small and great, the rich and poor, the free and the slave, take a mark that should be given to them upon their right hand or upon their forehead, so that no one might buy or sell except the one having the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. So that's exactly what I was just describing, is an interactive artificial intelligence network all over the beast's kingdom, which allows everybody to feel as if they're having a personal interaction with the beast. And then this commerce connection that keeps them loyal if they want to participate in the economy. That's a pretty big threat. Now, the more naive people will buy into this, that this guy is a godlike figure, because they're naive, and that's the way the naive work. The ones that do understand technology, who are not going to be sucked into that particular belief, are still going to see that there would be a danger to them personally to resist, because they would not be able to participate in the economy, and they might be tracked down as disloyal to the beast leader and to world government, and they don't want to take that chance. We will start tomorrow with verse number 18, about here's wisdom, the one having a mind should calculate the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man. His number is 666. Well, we're out of time, so I'll see you next time we get into the Word.